Will the House please come to order? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson. Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Flickery. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquivel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubnow. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. Anderson. Kennedy. 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer today is given by our very own Representative Bob Brechtel. Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, open our hearts to your Spirit. Let us listen to your voice. Open our eyes to truth. Teach us your wisdom. Help us to see the injustice to the weakest of our society. Strengthen us, O God, with the courage to stand and live for you, that we may glorify your name in all we do here today. Draw us close to you, that we may see your glory in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Will the House please come back to order? Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 2, 2010 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbudo.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Lisa Brandis from Cheyenne. Dr. Brandis, nice to see you. The nurse of the day is Michelle Parks. The nurses of the day are Michelle Parks and Amanda Gonzalez from the Wyoming State Hospital. I don't know if they are here, but welcome. Welcome, ladies. Representative Edmonds, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 60th up in the South Gallery, we have the first and second grade trailblazer class from Afflerbaugh in my district with their wonderful teacher, Mrs. Amons. Let's give them a great welcome.
Stand up, kids. There you go. Welcome to the House of Representatives. We have a special event today. Over the past 16 years, 20 exceptional college students participating in the Wyoming Legislative Internship Program have received nearly $6,000 in scholarship money from your generous contribution. The Wyoming Legislature sponsors the internship program, which allows students enrolled at an institution of higher education to obtain credit, along with unique insight into the legislative institution and its vital responsibility in creating public policy. Legislators also benefit by having students assist them with their legislative workload. During each legislative session, a deserving student is awarded the scholarship. This year's recipient of the Wyoming Legislative Intern Scholarship is Susie Scholler of Rock Springs, who attends Western Wyoming Community College and will have an Associates of Arts degree in May. After graduation, she plans to work on her bachelor's degree online in a photography and design-related field. Presenting the scholarship is Mrs. Lavonda Copsa, who has served as a coordinator for our intern program for the past 8 years. We would also like to welcome Susie's mother, Sekra Lee. I hope I got that right. Judy, also known as Judy. Her husband, Tom, and sons, Eric and Bobby, to the chamber and congratulate Susie on this achievement. Susie and Lavonda. Susie, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you for the privilege of the floor. It is, after taking orders all month long from everyone here, it was really interesting to be out on the West Steps this morning taking your portrait and being the one giving the orders. And now to be coming in and be recognized with this honor, I really appreciate it. It's such an honor. As with most accomplishments, they're met with the help of many others, and ever since I arrived here, every person that I've interacted with has been so helpful and friendly. I really appreciate that. I know that I speak for all of the interns when I say thank you for helping to make us feel so welcome and allowing us to help to serve you. We really appreciate it. That's what we're here for, is to help. And so having that opportunity has been wonderful. I also need to thank the Sergeant at Arms, Daryl Moore, for keeping me in line all month. And I wanted to just again highlight that the source of my greatest joy and support has come from the people standing up in the gallery, my mom and my husband and my sons. Before I came here, I had only been away from my boys for 3 nights, and they are 5 and 7. So it has been a big sacrifice for us to be apart, and so I just wanted to thank them. Sorry. So I look forward to soon being back on the proper side of my own camera instead of in front of it. Thank you again.
Thank you, Susie. Congratulations. And thank you, Tom and Eric and Bobby. You boys look great today. Boy, look at that. Thanks for sharing your mom with us. We are at that order of business of consideration of joint conference committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Report Joint Conference Committee 1 on House Bill 26. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 26 and ask that you vote aye. We went and negotiated with the other side about the medical review panel. We inserted the language that said that testimony, documents, and materials, as well as the decision of the panel, are admissible in trial for, solely for purposes of impeachment. We negotiated a middle ground. They came in saying they didn't want anything, but we did negotiate a middle ground and say now, and I tried to put the legal concept of materiality into it. So now it says that the decision of the panel and any testimony, documents, or materials submitted thereto. Then the part we agreed to is to add the language and incorporate it into the decision of the panel may be admissible in whole or in part solely for purposes of impeachment, and it's still subject to discretion of the trial court and in accordance with the Wyoming rules of evidence. So I thought that was a good solution. It leaves the trivial stuff out and the little gotchas that might come up in there out. But if it's something that's submitted to the panel and it's incorporated into their decision, and then somebody makes a significant departure from that in their testimony in court, then that information is available for purposes of impeachment. So I would ask you to vote in favor.
Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? We are voting on Joint Conference Committee Report number 1 to House Bill 26. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Blake, Flickery, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno. Lubno conflict? Madden. Madden? McKim. McComey, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Moniz, aye. Patton, aye. Peasley, aye. Pedersen, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp excused, Korberg, aye. Roscoe, aye. Simlick, aye. Shepperson, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 2 excused, 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have voted to adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Report to House Bill 26. We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 206 on House Bill 29, Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on House Bill 29, which is message number 206. It's on taxation of specified digital products. If you remember that we took off those things that are only temporary in possession, and so the two words that in two different places that the Senate decided needed to be out of there as well as possession and control. It does adds nothing or subtracts nothing as far as we can tell from the bill. We are now exempting in all fairness to all the digital products, anything that is, doesn't become in permanent possession. Permanent possession stuff will still be taxed, but those that you can hold and for 24 hours or so are not to be taxed, and it boiled down to a fairness issue. But this is just a couple of words in the bill that needn't be there, so I would recommend an aye vote on concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 29. The majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Flake, Flickery, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 29. Representative Davison, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. All of you should have gotten a handout on Boys and Girls State. I just wanted to put a plug in for it. I think each of us should make an attempt to spend some time there, either one day or several. Last year, we had very few legislators come and help, and we were kind of disappointed. This is such a great program. The kids are very innovative and creative, and they go through the whole process and learn what we do. They elect a president of the Senate, and they elect a speaker of the House, and they write bills, and they argue the bills, and they pass them. And some of these bills are so amazing, and we can all learn from it. Several of these youths are the ones we see as interns, aides, and pages. And isn't that great? They get an incentive to come down here and see the real process. We need to be teaching the young men and women about the democratic process and how it works. They are our next leaders. I love going out and spending time with them, and I hope more of you will take the time to do that as well, to share your knowledge and meet these young people. So I challenge each of you to take some time and be involved, even if it's just one day. And the dates are on there. Boys State is June 5th through the 11th in Douglas. Girls is 5th through 12th in Powell. So I hope all of you will make an attempt to do this. And if you're interested, contact your local Legion or your auxiliary and just let them know that you're interested in going up and helping out. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a very worthwhile program. Representative Peasley, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak also in concurrence with Representative from District 20. I've worked at the Boys State in the courts. You can tell I have no experience in the legislative part of it for about the last 40 years. And it's a wonderful experience. When I started, all the people with buildings in Cheyenne named after them were participating in that program. They would go down, not only spend a couple days, they'd actually camp out for a week, and they would live with those boys and work with those boys and the girls at the Girl State, and helped a lot. And I'm amazed at how that has fallen off over the last couple of decades. And I'd like to encourage many of you, as possible, to at least come down and put in a couple days, see if you like it, and if you do, I think you'll want to come back year after year. It's a great program. It's one of the few programs we have that is outside of the school system to actually teach these kids governance and appreciation for our way of life and of our way of government. So I would encourage you to participate. Thank you.
Thank you. We are at that order of business. The bill's on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading consent list consisting of the following bills. Senate File 22, 42, 52, 56, 66, 68, 69, and 78.
The Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senate File 7 is regular list.
I'll just repeat that. I've got 22, 42, 52, 56, 66, 68, 69, and 78. Yes, 7 and 40 were removed off of the yellow sheet.
Thank you. Would anyone like to remove any bill from the consent list? Would the reading clerk please read all consent list bills through the enacting clause?
Senate File 22, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the National Guard regarding medical expense reimbursement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 42, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to school finance regarding enrichment instruction, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 52, introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to fire safety and prevention, reduced cigarette ignition propensity, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 56, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to fuel tax bonds, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 66, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to industrial siting amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to peace officers, Supreme Court peace officer, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 69, introduced by the Natural Resource Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to illegal fish stocking, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Blickrey. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Bird. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Aye. Dirks. Dirks, aye. Edmonds, aye. Esquivel, aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan excused, Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Kimball, aye. Landon, aye. Lockhart, aye. Lubno, aye. Madden, aye. McKim, aye. McComey, aye. Miller, aye. Millen, aye. Moniz, aye. Patton, Peasley, aye. Pedersen, aye. Peterson, aye. Philp excused, Korberg, aye. Roscoe, aye. Semlich, aye. Shepperson, aye. Stewart, aye. Stubson, aye. Teeters, aye. Thompson, aye. Throne, aye. Wallace, aye. Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, aye. Mr. Speaker, aye. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 22, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 42, are there any changes? Stubson, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Harshman, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Cohey, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 45 ayes, 13 noes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 52, are there any changes? Korberg, aye Tano. Peasley, aye. Tano. Miller, aye. Tano. Teeters, aye. Tano. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 56, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 66, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 68, are there any changes? Simlick, aye. Tano. Dirks, aye. Tano. Brechtel, aye. Tano. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 3 noes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 69, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused. As to Senate File 78, are there any changes? Korberg, aye. Tano. Teeters, aye. Tano. Buchanan, aye. Tano. Peasley, aye. Tano. Miller, aye. Tano. Gilmore, aye. Tano. Brechtel, aye. Tano. Anderson, aye. Tano. Stewart, aye. Tano. Dirks, aye. Tano. Simlick, aye. Tano. Millen, aye. Tano. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 12 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 22, 42, 52, 56, 66, 68, 69, and 78 have passed the House. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration, ladies and gentlemen, Senate File 25, liens, it will go to the bottom of the list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 13. It's Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture, rangeland health assessments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Semling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 7 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the House, we had a discussion yesterday on second reading with an amendment that came with respect to some reporting requirements on Senate File 7. I had had some concerns about the detail of which the reporting requirements were in the second reading amendment, so I had worked with the sponsor of the second reading amendment, and we now have offered for your consideration a little bit different language in this amendment, which changes the date to January 1st of 2012. And we've kind of narrowed the focus of the reporting requirement, but yet maintain the integrity of the ability for the Joint Appropriations Committee and the Joint Agriculture Committee to take a look at this new program and make sure that it's doing what it needs to do. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 7. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 is passed. Senate File 7, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbudo. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Blickrey. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Kraft. Aye. Davison. Dirks, aye. Edmonds, Esquivel, aye. Gilmore, aye. Gingery, aye. Goggles, aye. Hales, aye. Hallinan excused, Hammonds, aye. Harshman, aye. Harvey, aye. Illaway, aye. Yagi, aye. Jorgensen, aye. Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 excused.
Senate File 7, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 7 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 13. Madam Majority Whip, would you come up, please?
Senate File 13, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to economic analysis, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13. This has some of the similar language that I just described to you with respect to Senate File 7 in terms of the reporting requirement, and I won't further elaborate on that. Just ask that for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time. We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 13 has passed. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 13. And, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we talked a little bit about the effect of this bill. But if you'd look at page 2 of the bill, lines 1 through 3, the existing language in this 9-2-1024, the duties performed through the Division of Economic Analysis, it says that the department, through the Division of Economic Analysis, in cooperation with other governmental and private agencies, shall. And then go to page 3, Romanet 10, an addition on line 2. So they shall supervise and coordinate statistical information or research programs conducted on behalf of counties, etc. I found that language too broad and possibly being overcoming the county's ability to do these studies and research and informational programs themselves. So I think by adding after the word conducted on page 2, line 3, after conducted, insert by the division, it clarifies their authority, the division's authority, to supervise and coordinate statistical informational or research programs conducted by the division. If the county wants the division to do that, that's great. If the county contracts out to do that, I don't believe that the division should have authority over that. And this clarifies that.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It wouldn't be the intent of this bill to supplant the work that the county commissioners might want to do with respect to this area. So the clarification would be appropriate to make sure that that did not happen, and it's a favorable amendment to the overall content of the bill. So I'd ask for your support.
Are you ready for the question? We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 13. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 13 has passed. Senate File 13 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger. Blake. Lickry, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Bird, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 48 ayes, 10 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 13, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 13 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20, introduced by Senator Esquivel, an act relating to text-based communications prohibited while driving, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 20 and will remove it at the appropriate time. This bill, I believe, is just really fraught with all kinds of loopholes, pitfalls, and unintended consequences. I not only do not think it is necessary, but I also do not think that this piece of legislation is really ready to become law. I have some concerns with this piece of legislation, so if you will turn over to page number 2. My first concern is, right away we have this whole section about it shall not apply, the shall not apply provision. So the first thing we've done, we've enacted it. We're going to enact a piece of legislation, and then right of way we have instances where this piece of legislation is not going to apply. So the first place it's not going to apply, I guess, is if you're an individual that's in a vehicle that's lawfully parked. So I guess if it's not lawfully parked, so perhaps if it's parked in a no parking zone and it's parked perhaps not correctly on the street or parked, it's just basically it's not going to apply if it's lawfully parked. So if you're in the vehicle and it's not lawfully parked and you're texting, then you're subject to the provisions of this piece of legislation. Now, interestingly enough, I think it gets even more complicated because if you will look in the statutes that deal with Uniform Act regulating traffic, it does actually define parked. And parked in the statute says you don't even have to be in the vehicle. If the vehicle is parked lawfully, whether you're in it or not, you're subject to a ticket. So I'm really kind of confused. I guess I'm assuming that if the vehicle is lawfully parked and you're in it, you can text. But I don't really know because we've already described parked. We've already defined park in statute. And that means park is whether or not you're even in the vehicle. So I guess I have a question about that. I don't think that's really very clear, and I think that's going to be hard to enforce. Now, the other time that this statute's not going to apply is if you are a person and you're in the vehicle and you want to contact an emergency response vehicle. Now, I'm not really sure what that means. I don't know if that means you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you're doing donuts on black ice and you now want to contact an emergency response vehicle because you know you're going off the road, it's okay then. You can text. or I don't know if that means you're driving down the highway and you see someone in front of you go off the road, sitting beside the road, and you know you're going to have to call an emergency response vehicle. I guess it's okay then if you're driving down the highway or driving down the road, it's okay then to text under those circumstances. So right away, we've got all of these exclusions we've built in. Now this is an interesting one, Romanette number 3. We can't write text-based communications, but if we're going to call somebody, it's okay to write their name in. It says to write, read, select, or enter a telephone number or name if you're going to actually verbally call the person. So it's okay then to write, read, select, or enter either a telephone number or a name as long as you plan on verbally talking to them. If you want nonverbal communication, then it's not going to be okay. So I'm just not sure what kind of a message we're sending here, not only to the citizens that we're imposing this law on, but also to law enforcement, who's going to be charged with enforcing this particular statute. And now the next one, let's go on to subsection B. This is a really interesting one, because this is not going to apply to a person operating an emergency response vehicle or while performing official duties as an emergency responder. So the EMTs, law enforcement, fire department, they can all respond 40, 50, 60 miles an hour and text at the same time. Interesting. If they can be trained to do it, I guess maybe I'm thinking the rest of us can also be trained to do it, and therefore we will be safer at handling it. I'm also a little bit concerned about on page 3, we have put into statute a new definition under just texting for an emergency response vehicle, and yet if you'll go to the statutes, 31-5-102, where we have all of the definitions, we have another definition called authorized emergency vehicles. So I'm just wondering if those are two, if that was intentional that we put into statute an emergency response vehicle. That's a new definition for this piece of legislation. And how that ties in with our definition under statute already about an authorized emergency vehicle, because they're not the same definitions in the two parts of statutes. The authorized emergency vehicle allows even a town or county that wants to designate a vehicle as emergency service to be designated. So I don't know if they're going to be allowed to text. It almost seems to me like we're like, with this bill, it's kind of like, well, this is one of those bills like, don't do as I do as I say. Government and everyone else is not going to be subject to these rules, but all the rest of us are in a lot of instances. So I really don't think that this bill is ready for prime time. I not only don't think it's necessary, but I don't think that it's I just don't think it's ready for prime time to be enacted into law. I also gave this a lot of thought as a law enforcement officer. How am I as a law enforcement officer going to decide when I've established probable cause to pull that person over for texting? I guess one of two things. If he's holding a phone and it's not up to his ear, then he's holding the phone, and that might be cause to pull that individual over for texting. Or perhaps if they're looking down. Now, they could be looking down to change the radio station, to change the CD, to pick up a drink that's in the cup holder, but they are looking down, which might indicate that they might be texting. Otherwise, I just don't know how law enforcement is even going to come close to being able to enforce this and to know when they've established enough probable cause. Maybe if the person has their head down for one or two blocks, I just don't know. And I still think the question is totally not resolved about if he does stop you, does he have the authority to take your cell phone away from you to determine whether or not you were in fact texting? So I just think this bill is not ready. I don't think it's necessary. I think we have the careless driving statute in place to properly prosecute anyone that is distracted as a driver. And I would just urge the body today to defeat this piece of legislation. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to echo the fine statements of our representative from the Wedding of the Waters, also a former law enforcement officer, I think that's significant. This bill is not one of our better pieces of legislation coming out of this House, this session. It's not ready for prime time. It's for all the reasons we've heard over the last few days. People can already be cited for careless driving or distracted driving. I don't get this bill, why we're selecting one specific area. And it begs further questions. Does that mean that if you're using your GPS, and some of that is text-based, does that mean you can get stopped for having a GPS up on your dash? I think it does. That's up to the interpretation of the police officer stopping you. So, again, for the amendment and against the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to echo the same words, but I want to just very quickly, and I know the body is probably tired of this, but on page 3, we're defining and we're saying write, send, or read a text-based communication means using an electronic wireless communications device to manually communicate with another person. Using text-based communication, including but not limited to communications referred to as a text message, instant message, or electronic mail. So if I'm Googling, if I'm Facebooking, if I'm Bing and I'm looking up an address, I am not communicating with a person. There are huge loopholes. I mean, this would make a great billboard. It's a great educational piece. As far as a statute, a piece of law, it's not a good bill.
Representative Barbuto.
You know, I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to come up here and say this, but I believe I'm in total agreement with the representative from Hot Springs County, the lady from Cheyenne, and the man from Riverton, and the man from Douglas. You got to wonder how you get yourself to this point. But I guess I can't help but feel like this is a bad bill and maybe something we don't want to move forward with. I think that a lot of good points have been made, but this thing, if I'm driving down the road with my cell phone in the hand and the cop pulls me over and says, "Were you texting?" I could say, "Well, no, officer, I was watching a movie," or "No, officer, I was checking my email." Countless things we can do with our cell phones. And for any of those, there's a good chance I'd get a ticket for careless or reckless driving. I don't know why we segregate texting from the rest of those functions of the cell phone. And I think, based on the rate that this body moves, I think if we're going to try and keep up with technology, we're going to be in trouble. So for the amendment against the bill.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ever since we've been driving cars and trucks, we've put rules that on it, you know, to require us to drive on the right side of the road, turn our lights on when it's dark, be of a certain age, not drink and drive. And I think all these things don't fall under reckless driving. So I think we do need a rule here. I think what we're trying to do is get ahead of this curve. And we're trying to prevent things. The conversation seems to be about can a cop pull me over, you know, and that's not really what we're talking about. And the reason I've gotten up so much is I have a personal story. A really good friend of mine and his parents, really good friends of mine. He was a four-time all-state Nordic skier in Wyoming, was going out for the U.S. Olympic team back in Maine. He was hit by a kid about his age in his 20s who was texting his mom. Will was killed while he was skiing with his brother. But my point is, not only did we lose a life, this guy that was texting, his life was dramatically affected. And he was an innocent person. He wasn't doing anything against the law. He didn't even think that this was a bad thing to do. And I think it gets to the point of, if we make it a law, as the good representative from Sheridan brought up yesterday, if we make it a law, and let's just talk about this age group of 16 to 20 or 25, 50% of those kids will obey the law. And so right there, you're taking 15% of the kids, 50% of the kids that will not be victims by hitting someone else and ruining their lives, or possibly by being hit by somebody that's texting. So I think it's this age group that we should focus on, and against the amendment and strongly for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the bill and for the amendment, I have to go back to my fundamental principles. And we are not terribly into restricting activities that are legal in this state. We've done it. We've refused to do it with smoking. We've refused to do it with a primary seatbelt law. And this falls right in line with that. And if you want Wyoming to be one of the most progressive states, which I don't believe in that term we are, go ahead and vote for this piece of legislation. But I can tell you that the majority of the citizens in this state do not like legislation like this. Now, if we want to just be this elite body that is going to go ahead and plow forward and do these sort of things against the will of the people, then go ahead and support this. But this just irks me in the deepest part of my soul, and I don't like this sort of legislation. You speak with former members that have served in this body and your constituents back at home, they don't want us to protect them from themselves. That's not what government was designed for. So I would urge you to vote no on the bill.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the bill, you know, there's a lot of things that can distract drivers, and depending on when you choose to do that activity, it can be safe or it can be unsafe. And, you know, that was the whole reason I sponsored the careless driving legislation last year, to kind of deal with all these things we've come up with to try and regulate and make our highways a safer place. And that's fine. We need to do that. They need to be a safer place. But there are instances where you can text safely, just like the good majority whip pointed out in the bill. You know, law enforcement can speed to an accident or emergency. Boy, they can text somehow, and it's safe. And the bottom line to this is you're going to make me a criminal, because I'll continue to text when I can safely do so, because if I can't do it safely, I'm going to get a careless driving ticket. And if I was really bad for some reason, I can get a reckless driving ticket, and I'm going to lose my license or get it suspended. But you're going to make criminals out of untold numbers of citizens if you pass this. The second problem I have with this, we talk about this phone being confiscated or searched. I think it's really going to shift the burden to the defendant under the Fourth Amendment to prove his innocence or her innocence. And that turns the entire system on its head, because no one has an answer to that question.
Attorney, Representative Throne.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I think there's been some confusion sown about this bill. So I want to make sure everybody understands that subsection A prohibits any writing, sending, or reading of text-based communication, which means you can't Google and drive, you can't email and drive, you can't text and drive. So it covers all of those. There's no ambiguity about that. The statute's clear. And also, folks, let's remember we're talking about a traffic violation here. You know, under the theories that I've heard today, we ought to just get rid of the speed limit like the state does to the north, because that would make about as much sense as opposition to this bill. The science says, the science demonstrates that texting causes accidents. People get killed. Like the wonderful young man from the county of the Tetons. He died. Do we want people to die for some philosophical reason over a $75 ticket? Please, this is not some gross government intrusion into our lives. It's about safety. My safety, your safety, the safety of folks on the road. So let's not over-dramatize it into some grand constitutional issue, because it's not. It's a traffic safety issue, and we regulate that all the time to protect everybody on the road. I urge you to defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Another little thing that's been being said. We're not, when you're picked up for violation of this, you're not being made a criminal. Number one, you got to be stopped to pick up for some reason, which means I, in my heavy foot, have been stopped many times, but I don't consider myself a criminal. So let's be careful how we say some of these words when we talk about this. It's not a felony. Felonies are criminals. High misdemeanors may be a criminal. But those kind of things are not really the case. And I did want to pass one thing on to you. I have a lot of contact with law enforcement people. My son's a police officer. My brother's a deputy sheriff. I go to and have coffee with these people and things a lot. And more, they talk about the accidents that they investigate. And more of those accidents are involved distracted drivers with cell phones. That's the issue here. And the issue of you know, our right to do these things. What's my right to be driving down the highway and not have somebody coming at me, texting, being distracted? And they run into me, and I lose my life, or they lose their life, or we both do, because there was something that maybe we could have prevented with a little forethought. Really, if people would think to themselves, they'd realize, I'm doing something that's taking my attention away from one of the most important things I'm doing. When I'm behind the wheel of that car, I'm driving down a road with, if you've got the little ones, 20-some hundred pounds, you're driving a pickup I'm driving today, you're 5,000-6,000 pounds at high speeds. That's what the issue is. On and against the amendment.
Representative Gilmore.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't even believe I'm up here. We've spent too much time on this already. And I'm kind of an anti-cop guy myself. I don't want a game warden messing around my pond. All these bills that we're passing today are just getting me closer to jail. But the truth is, I have a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old granddaughter. Both of them have wrecked cars while texting. One of them almost killed a person, because she cut across their lane and actually said to me, Grandpa, we need to have some kind of a bill or a law. She said, if I was scared I was going to get a ticket, I probably wouldn't have done it. And so short of that, you know, vote however you want to vote. It's my friend from Goshen that I agree with an awful lot on a lot of these private property issues and just rights in general that were taken away. All we're trying to do here is give a little push. Give the police the authority to pull someone over and, in my case, tell my granddaughter, get off the damn phone. The truth is, I'm an old hot rodder. I was on high-risk insurance until I was in my 50s, and I still get stopped once in a while, but you know, to just give them authority to. And another thing I disagree with, I think if someone sees someone going to wreck in front of them, they're just going to dial 911. They're going to punch three numbers, not send a text to some police department. I'm on and for the bill.
Representative Lebnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sometimes when we come down here, we're tempted to take ourselves more seriously than we ought. And the question is, what difference are we going to make in the safety of our roads if we pass this bill? And I think the way that this bill is drafted, not one bit. It's a $75 fine and a crime. And you know, I read from a passage of a book that I just read in the chapter, The Nanny State, that nanny state legislation unrealistically assumes that 100% of human behavior can be corrected. Even in a scary totalitarian state like China, a place that has over 60 crimes punishable by death, you will still find people who will break the law. And why is that? It's their uncontested, all-powerful government can create any law they want to outlaw any behavior they deem undesirable. Then why does China have a need for prisons or their terrifying mobile execution vans? The answer is simple. No matter what we do, no matter what laws we enact or what creative punishments we invent, there will always be people who make bad decisions. It's human nature, but more important, it's the price we pay for liberty. And I think to myself, back in the late 1980s when I got my first cell phone, and I figured out very early on that if I was driving and talking on the cell phone, I wasn't going to live very long because I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. And so I purchased one of those cars that had the phone in the car where you press the button and you talk and you don't have to do all of that other stuff. And then when I learned how to text, I figured that I better not text and drive because I was going to hurt myself. And what point do we, as a state, assume individual responsibility for people who want to drive a vehicle? The good representative from Natrona County had two children who wrecked cars while texting. Well, is that our responsibility to say don't do that, or is it the responsibility of our citizens to drive safely? And so I am convinced that this legislation is not going to make one whit of difference in the safety of our roads, because people who have texted while they're driving know that it's unsafe, and they know that they're distracted, and they still do it. And that's sad, but that's the way it is. But what the legislation will do, it will give government one more tool to erode away at our liberties. And I just don't think that that's right. I think that one of our obligations as legislators is to stand between the government and our citizens and only pass those laws which we believe will make a difference. And I'm not convinced that this law will make a difference. So on and for the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The legislature is here to protect the health and welfare and the well-being of its citizens. And I think the reason that these young kids were out there lobbying this bill is because they were the passengers that were in the seat while the driver was texting and they had the hell scared out of them. Now, how many of you have been a passenger in a vehicle where the driver was texting? Probably none of us. But I suppose if you were, you probably would have had the hell scared out of you, too. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am against the amendment and for the bill. I think unlike many of the speakers here today, I see this bill as designed for law-abiding people. Law-abiding people right now text and drive. When we pass this bill, law-abiding people will no longer text and drive, and that's what we'd like. I'm from a community for about 8 months of the year. The number of 18 to 25-year-olds is about over 50% of our population. Coming to a stoplight or a stop sign in my community means that that population has their head down in their lap, and it's dangerous. When I first moved here, I told my young son in August that he needed to be incredibly careful on the streets because all of these new kids were coming into town from small communities who really didn't know how to drive in my town. Right now, I would tell him that he needed to be off the streets because so many kids are distracted. So again, I'm against the amendment and for the bill.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, against the amendment and for the bill. You know, one of the reasons that this bill is being offered is because of our youth. And our youth, you got to remember that their brain isn't developed to make some good decisions, right or wrong. And I've seen a lot of youth in Cody and even other towns, the way they drive, it's a wonder, especially it looks like they were texting because they dang sure weren't looking down the street. And I think for that reason, this is one reason this is a good bill. And I've probably worked on things that, if you want to call it the Code of the West, working on things challenging the federal government and even working on things to challenge state government, not interfering with the rights of the people. But I think this is one that if it helps save lives, it's the right thing to do.
Then Blockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill, we've talked to one of the focuses that I've heard here is it's the young people, 18 to the 25-year-olds, are the villains on this. The crowd I hang around with aren't 18 to 25-year-olds. We're in different age group, and we very much object to people that are not paying attention to driving. And the instances that I've been bothered have not been teenagers, and it hadn't been young 20-year-olds. It's been a trucker that's doing this, and he's wobbling into my lane when we're parallel with each other. And I know exactly what he's doing. He's trying to check out some work or something like that. So it isn't just the young people that are doing these things, and they may do it even better than the folks my age would even try to do. I think you got to say that this really touches everybody. And last but not least, when we try to say, what are the people back home thinking? And I'm expressing from an age group that they don't like to have people distracted when they're driving, and they've seen this happen with texting, and so I would urge your support of the bill.
Chairman Coey.
For my first time, Mr. Speaker, some of my friends are for it and some are against it, and I'm for my friends.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Peasley.
Mr. Speaker, for my first time, I want everybody to notice I have nothing to say on my first time. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time, Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very quickly, and I so seldom get to do this, so I have to come up and do it because I don't usually argue with lawyers, but I'm going to this time. The good representative from Laramie County spoke on page 2, lines 1 through 2, where we have a communication device to write, send, or read a text-based communication. If you then go to page 3, which is what I was talking about, we define write, send, or read a text-based communication as, and I'll read it again, to manually communicate with any person. So I'm just going to argue that this is it's ambiguous. It's we could potentially, I mean, an argument could be that I was GPSing or binging or something like that. And then also just very quickly, we talked about our youth and how important it is to tell them, don't text and drive. And absolutely, I agree with that. But we have a fine here of $75. And we've heard stories where people are losing their lives. First offense DUI, at least they lose their license for 6 months. I mean, if we are so horribly concerned that this is going to end in death, which it potentially could, $75 is a pretty small fine. If we want to get serious about this and we really want to speak to our youth and we think that legislation changes behaviors, we should have a much stiffer penalty when we're talking about potential someone's death than $75. Again, I just, it's a bad piece of legislation for the amendment against the bill.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick clarification on the definition of write, send, or read a text-based communication. It does cover email. It could also, I think, be interpreted to cover Googling, because person does not mean a human being under the law. It means corporations are generally persons. So, that might be a slight ambiguity, but it certainly covers emailing.
Chairman Cohey, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, at one time in Wyoming, it was legal to operate a casino. Public policy changed that. At one time, it was legal to drink and drive in your car down the road to 0.10. Public policy changed that. At one time, it was legal for your passengers in your car to enjoy themselves with an alcoholic beverage and drive down the road. Public policy made here changed that. I heard if you want to be a progressive state, that this is the wrong thing. You know, I still hear the echoes around here that if we want to be a progressive state, we'll have the lottery. Public policy here, made here, said, no, we don't think that's what we want. The question of how and where a vehicle is parked and the question of an emergency response vehicle suggests that law enforcement has no latitude. Law enforcement is just waiting to pounce on any unsuspecting innocent person with an ability to confiscate a phone, you know, and they must be strongly, they must be, because they all strongly support this. Some of this discussion to me comes right out of some Orwellian novel that there's a bunch of cops out there waiting to just lock you up for, that's the next step from $75 as a fine. If I were a law enforcement officer, I would do what the public suggests. Be responsible. Do your job. If it requires some sensibility, as a law enforcement officer, be responsible. Do the right thing. Don't simply lurk around for somebody that's in their vehicle parked on the side of the street and say, aha, you are going to go straight to jail. No $200, no monopoly, no nothing. The conversation I've been hearing provided suggests the rationale of concerns. Whether you think them to be the real focus of the bill or not, the real focus of the bill is roadway safety. If you like the idea of people in increasing numbers driving down the road, sharing that road with your family, your friends, your sons, your daughters, while looking down at a device that takes far longer to operate than putting a cup of coffee in a coffee holder, or looking at a GPS, then vote no on the bill. If you have fears that law enforcement is just waiting outside out here on 23rd Street or 21st Street to grab your phone and grab your car and put you in jail and, oh, by the way, get $75 from you, simply say no. Otherwise, if making law here on this floor, if making law to require people to think just a little bit before engaging in a highly distractive and dangerous habit, then consider the bill. I heard about fundamental rights. You know, and we hear a lot about that. We come down here, and I hear that when I go home, just like 59 of you do. You've stripped some of my rights from me. What about my right and those of your friends to have a safe roadway? What about their rights? I want you to think about that just a little bit. What about the rights of people making their livings on our state's highways, and they are many? What about them to have a better workplace?
Anyone else prior to the sponsor, Representative Peasley?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'll shorten my speech by 15 minutes by just asking you all to remember my usual rant. In addition, the one thing I wanted to point out with regard to these prophylactic thought processes we have to save humanity, one, it's unfair to paint with a broad brush and say because we don't want a specific law, we want people to die. To elevate it to that level, I think, is unfair. The second thing, and I think hidden in all the debate, is the hardest part of this, is if we're going to legislate and make laws to make people think a little bit, we're never going to have enough paper to write all these laws. When you educate your children, when you're bringing them up, when you're putting them in charge of a car, you want them to think. And you want them to think about all of the things that you haven't anticipated. You want them to think about the surprise, the limb that might fall, the kid that might dart out from another car, whatever might happen. You can't possibly teach everything to that child. So what do you teach them? Drive responsibly. Do not drive distracted. Do not drive carelessly. Do not drive recklessly, and here's a whole bunch of examples of things you don't do. Now, one of the things you don't do before you get in the car is, lock yourself out. You don't want to do that. You don't want to drink alcohol. You don't want to use drugs. There's a lot of things you have to tell them not to do before they get into the car. But think of the laws we're going to have as we move forward in life, as we have to legislate the culture into submission and total safety. There are so many laws we should have. And we give a lot of them anecdotally and somewhat sarcastically when we talk about the eating the pizza, the spilling, the looking at the GPS, the kids in the backseat. All of those are things. But I do know this, when you educate children and warn them of specific dangers, like don't put your fingers in the plug, Junior. And so, we get guards for those so the kids don't even know what is in that electric outlet until they go to somebody's house and electrocute themselves. There are a lot of things you have to warn kids about, but mostly you have to teach them to think. And when we try to keep up with technology, with legislation, think about it. Texting caught us off guard, didn't it? We couldn't run around quickly enough and get a law passed. We lost lives because of that. This is going to happen all the time, and I submit by the time we meet two more times, texting isn't even going to be an issue. Technology is going to blow past us very quickly. We have laws to take care of this, and don't accuse those that speak against this law of wanting people killed by people that are texting. That isn't it. We say it's illegal to text because it distracts you, and I think that's a good law. And what I liked about it was there's three levels of texting under our current law. You shall not text if it distracts, violation. You shall not distract if it makes you careless, infraction. You shall not text if it makes you reckless, each one with a more severe penalty. And we, like I said, there are so many places technology is going to go, and the law's not going to keep up. And I sure as heck don't want Dad telling his little kid, when he's getting the keys to the car, now here's what you don't do. You do not text. The kid jumps in and thinks it's okay to crank up the music. It's okay to look in the back seat. It's okay to eat and put on makeup and whatever else he's going to do as they're driving, because those weren't specifically mentioned or prohibited. I think what we want to encourage is responsible behavior, and we want to make sure the kid understands there's punishment out there if you violate the law, and the law says drive safely. Leave it there. You're not going to be able to keep up with this universe meeting just once every year. Thank you very much.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Corbett.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I won't belabor this too much longer, other than there really was no counter argument to all of the pitfalls that I saw in this particular piece of legislation. This piece of legislation is not well written. It was not thought out in terms of the definitions that are already defined in state statute, and I think it's going to be problematic to enforce. The only other thing that I would like to say is this is a primary offense. This is not a secondary offense. So to put a law on the books that we, quote, just want to make you stop and think about is not fair to law enforcement, because law enforcement's job is to enforce the laws. So you have made this a primary law, put it on the books, and you expect them to enforce it maybe, but oh, kind of not really. We just put it on the books to make our youth, quote, think about it, but we really don't want you to go out and enforce it. We don't really want it to be a big hassle for you. It doesn't work that way with law enforcement. Their job is to enforce the laws of the state that we pass, and this bill makes this a primary offense, and it will be their duty and their responsibility to enforce that law. And that puts a burden on them, because this law is not well defined, in my opinion, for them to follow appropriately. And the other thing in terms of our rights, I guess I just ask you all to think here today. We can't legislate for zero risk. It simply cannot be done. And what about all of us as individuals, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, neighbors? We have a responsibility to educate the youth of this state about not texting and driving. And that really is where it's at for us. It's up for the parents to slap the $75 fine on their child that they catch texting and driving. It's not up to us. We all have a responsibility to work with the youth of this state to convince them that this is not a safe practice. It's not about passing a law to, quote, just send them a message and make them think about it. And, Mr. Chairman, with that, I withdraw the amendment.
Third reading, amendment number 1 is withdrawn to Senate File 20. Senate File 20 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel. Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
McComey. Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlek.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Illaway? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 ayes, 26 noes, 2 excused.
Senate File 20 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 20 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration Senate File 31. We move 25 down.
Senate File 31, introduced by Senator B. Bowd, an act relating to the Federal Natural Resource Policy Account being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Which one? Oh, okay, go ahead. Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move a third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 31 and ask for your favorable consideration. If you will turn to your bill over on page 2, we added some new language about allowing counties, towns, counties in particular, and states to help participate in the implementation of these environmental impact statements. And it came to our attention during the course of the discussion on this bill that perhaps implementation was too broad in its definition and needed to be narrowed, because what we really don't want is we don't want to take responsibility for implementing these plans for specific projects like fixing roads, putting in culverts that are the responsibility of the federal government. So on page line 16, after the final word decision, Mr. Speaker, I would like to add the language, so long as the funds expended under this paragraph are not used to fund projects that are the responsibility or obligation of any federal agency or entity. And I urge for your favorable consideration.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd ask you to resist this amendment. We took this kind of innocuous idea and made it a bill and amended it 9 times, and it's starting to get really worrisome. Basically, and I will argue when this account was created, and I know some people will disagree, that we made a policy decision, and it's actually found on page 2 of the bill, lines 6 and 7. Let me just read it to you here. Funds also may be expended for preparing and participating in environmental impact statements and environmental assessments, including analysis of economic and social and effects on the environment. And then we've kind of reinserted this language in the bill under Section 6 that participation in these environmental impact statements, we're reinserting the same language, but we're adding all associated records of decision and all federal and other federal management decisions. I guess how I read this now, if we're taking FNRPA funds, it puts us in direct conflict with the rangeland management bill we just passed that says we can use FNRPA funds. We put that as to cooperate in rangeland management decisions with the federal government. But there would be some argument that on these grazing leases or on other things that we have to do rangeland monitoring for, it really is the job of the federal government to be doing this. It's just not getting done. And it's adversely affecting our citizenry. So if we want, I guess it's somewhat submission, but we're cooperating with all the applicable federal partners to do these kind of joint projects of what the Fed should be doing, but we're coming in with state funds because it's, I think we decided as a policy decision in this body, it was as important enough to us to be able to use some of these funds in FNRPA to make some of these land management decisions, that this really does set up a conflict. And I think I'd be okay if it was just environmental impact statements, but the wording in the bill now is associated records of decisions and other federal management decisions. And I think we took a really good account here, and we keep limiting it, putting strings on it, and tying its hands. And we're going to probably have to open this whole statute up and redo the whole thing here one of these days, because I've read through it now twice, and it doesn't even make it conflicts with itself across the board now at this point. But I'd ask you to resist this amendment, send the bill downstairs, and it doesn't really do much harm at this point. But I think you're really tying the hands if you put this thing on there. Thanks.
For your first time, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've read through this amendment several times, and I think I understand her intent, but the problem is that it says that are the responsibility or obligation of any federal agency or entity. All federal environmental impact statements are the responsibility of a federal agency. So participation in the implementation of environmental impact statements and associated records of decision and other federal management decisions, am I understanding that by saying this, we are not to use these funds for projects that are the responsibility or obligation of any federal agency or entity? The federal agents are always the lead agency. It's always their responsibility. And by that, by doing this, we are limiting the local governments from being, from using funds to being involved in the projects. So I would have to stand in opposition of the amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not quite sure what to do with this. I'm swayed by the opposition to the amendment. But what is bothersome in the bill is page 2, line 14. Participation in the implementation of, it's the word implementation as not necessarily as it relates to EISs and records of decision, but it's the other, maybe the other management decisions where the decision is made and then the implementation is a federal responsibility, and trying to clarify that none of the FNRPA funds will be used for that implementation of the decision. I don't know what to do with it. Maybe it's best to not pass the amendment. If we do pass the amendment, we could hopefully go to conference committee and discuss it there, but that can jeopardize the bill and may be unnecessary in this instance. I guess I'm going to have to come down on the side of against the amendment, because the language on lines 14 through 16 of the bill seemed to me to be narrowed enough, or at least would be construed as relating to the EISs and the records of decisions and other federal management decisions. Just remember, it's still up to the governor of how these funds are expended. And I know that the executive branch does not want to fund implementation of federal decisions. So we may be better off to just not go with the amendment and rely on the executive branch and the intent of the FINERPA account to not fund those things rather than confuse it with the amendment.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the chairman of the TRW and the good representative from House District 43. The spirit of the amendment is good. We would like the federal land managers to do what they're supposed to do, to carry out the mandates through NEPA, but the fact is they haven't. If we pass this amendment, it's going to be problematic, as was previously said, with Senate File 7. We have an appropriation out of that policy account going for a purpose for the state to protect the interest of our livestock grazers, a job that the federal government should be doing, but they're not. So if we pass this amendment, it really confounds the intent of Senate File 7. So I agree with the spirit, but I just tell you it's going to create some problems. So I would ask that we do not support this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, and again, when you're up debating some of these language insertions that the lawyers are already speaking on, I'm a little bit at a disadvantage here. But my reading of it is the intent here is to make sure that our state funding isn't replacing some federal funding that would have occurred if we didn't have this language in here. They have to do these EISs. And an interesting thing with these EISs is if there's a company involved, and this isn't about wildlife or something like that, the company proposing the project is the one paying for the EIS. So, again, I don't want the state replacing that funding also if it was coming from one of these large multinational corporations. You've heard me argue on the other side of this issue just recently. So, again, be careful voting down this amendment because I think it may have unintended consequences.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in opposition to the amendment because of the experience we are having on the Indian lands in Wyoming. There are irrigation projects that the BIA is obligated to take care of, and they're 100 years old and they're not taking care of them. And we have to go in there with water development funds, mind you, to repair those so that the water's taken care of. And it's a deal that just wouldn't get done if the state doesn't use state funds to do it. Now, I'm not sure that this covers that area, but I can understand the federal government just refusing to appropriate money for things that can't wait. And so I'd rise in opposition to the amendment.
Representative Stewart, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I might agree with one of the previous speakers, one of my friends, that I might have misread this at first, that in my experience with a lot of these RMPs, federal processes, what we find, especially with our forest decisions, you know, a lot of us well-intentioned people think these decisions are based on sound science, and they're not. It's all politics and money. And I spent a lot of time trying to get an ASQ of how many trees we could get cut on our national forest, and then in the back rooms come to find out that, well, thanks a lot, you can pick any number you want, but we're only going to fund a certain level of forest management. And the key to this, I think, is holding our land managers to the fire and make sure they get their checkbook out to implement this, their plans to the degree that we expect. And again, I think the interpretation here of this language is that clearly we don't want our state to backfill these expectations with state monies. So I'm on and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? For their first time. Chairman Childers, for your second time.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as I said before, I agree with the intent of the amendment, but look at the words. The words in Roman X 6 says, participate in the implementation of environmental impact statements and associated records of decision and other federal management decisions. Now, remember, going with the law, and I've actually asked people that teach the process, I wanted the state of Wyoming to initiate an environmental impact statement. And they said, sure, you can go ahead and do that. But the federal agency is always going to make the decision. Not sometimes, always. So we as, the counties and the local governments and even the state that we get as cooperating agencies in the participation of implementation of the EISs and associated records of decision, it gives those cooperating agencies the opportunity to sit at the table and talk about those things that are not open to the public, not at that decision. Once an EIS, draft EIS goes through, or excuse me, a final EIS goes through, well, even a draft, in other words, at the point that the preferred alternative is put in, the cooperating agencies are in there behind the doors after the public is finished. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And then after the final environmental impact statement, if the process is followed properly, those cooperating agencies are supposed to also be in there and have the opportunity to support that record of decision. In other words, a preferred alternative, and that's what the decision is being made. But now this language is inserted in that section. So long as the funds expended under this paragraph are not used to fund projects that are the responsibility and obligation of any federal agency or entity. We spent 4 years putting this process or this law on the books. And every one of those 4 years, there are some organizations that fought us because they didn't want us involved in it. Because they were able to get their way on all those EISs and not allow the public and the county commissioners and the local governments or even the state that represent the true majority of the people, they didn't want them helping make those decisions. But by implementing this language, I will guarantee you that we will be challenged legally if we as a cooperating agency are involved in the manner of Roman X 6. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that this amendment is in any way going to affect Senate File 7. Senate File 7 is about assessing the health of Wyoming grazing lands, regardless of whether it's state, private, county, federal. It's a whole brand new area of allowing this fund to be used. And I don't believe that this section in the bill that we're looking at right now, which is a brand new Section 6, we've never been able to participate in the implementation of environmental impact statements and associated records of decision. That's what this whole section is about. It doesn't have anything to do about rangeland assessment, assessing the health. I don't think there's any conflict there. This section 6 is about implementing environmental impact statements and associated records of decision. So that indicates that the environmental impact statements already come out, the record of decision has already come out, and in those documents, when they come out, they identify specific things that the federal government is going to do and not do. And those are the projects. That's where this other language comes in. Those documents identify things that are the responsibility of the federal government, be it to maintain a road, be it to put in a culvert, be it to do burns in prescribed areas, be it to spray sagebrush in a specific area. There are things identified in those documents that are the responsibility of the federal government. And that's what this language speaks to. It says that we can use the money for implementation, but not to be used for projects that are identified as being the responsibility or obligation of the federal government. I mean, I can just see down the road if we just leave this wide open that we can use this money to implement EISs and records of decision, perhaps the federal government will say, well, we don't want to do it. You guys have access to funding, counties. You go ahead and you apply for this money through the governor's office. Because it says here that now you can implement these. And I realize that the governor is the final say, but I think this is good language that gives the governor direction from this body that we do not want this fund to be used for those types of projects that are identified in environmental impact statements and records of decision. So I urge you to support this amendment. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 31. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment's failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 31. Mr. Speaker.
Chairman, I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 31. Ladies and gentlemen, we passed a second reading amendment yesterday and I don't know if you have it from yesterday. It's either on the pink sheet or it's on your yellow sheets of House amendments we adopted yesterday to Senate File 31. And as I mentioned yesterday when I talked about this amendment, the question of whether or not we should have the state mentioned in the federal natural resources policy account is a question we should ask ourselves. And I wasn't particularly comfortable with it then, and I'm much less comfortable with it now. And I'm asking you to take it out, take any reference to the state out in the amendment we passed yesterday, which added the new subparagraph D under Romanet 2 that's already in the statute, Romanet 2 is. And then on page 2, line 21 of the bill, it talks about enhancing the ability of a county to participate in state or federal, and I want to take out the state. And there are a couple reasons for that. The FNRPA account was for federal resource management policy issues. When I was crafting this second reading amendment, it made sense to me at that time to stick it in. But when I read Romanet 2 now in the amendment that was already part of the statute, it doesn't make sense. And it expands the reach of this account to where it shouldn't be, I think, without further committee discussion on really what the statute is for, and expands it into ways that probably need to be considered if that's what we're going to do beyond just a second reading amendment. So I would ask you to pass this third reading amendment, to take out the reference to the state and go back to the original intent of the bill. We still have good parts of the bill that we've added to it about socioeconomic and helping our counties and our state agencies deal with these federal land management policy questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, as with the Code of the West, talk less and say more. Ditto, it's a friendly amendment.
Is there anyone else for their first time on third reading amendment number two? For their second time? Question being called. We're voting on third reading amendment number two to Senate File 31. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment number two is passed. Senate File 31, having been read three times, the question is, shall it pass the House? The clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Licorice.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy. Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball. Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen. Pedersen. Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Excuse.
Pedersen excused. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 3 no, 3 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 31 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 39.
Senate File 39, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Post-Secondary Education Options Program, be enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 39. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Licorice.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubnow.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller. Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen excused. Peterson.
Aye.
Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Buchanan, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Cohey, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 aye, 16 no, 3 excused.
Senate File 39, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 39 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 40.
Senate File 40, introduced by Senator Cooper, an act relating to the establishment of highways, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one, and we'll remove it at the appropriate time. I just wanted to take a moment to talk a little further on this bill in regards to establishment of highways. We talked about this a bunch the other day, and the good gentleman from Albany County was successful in getting an amendment on that I think improved the bill, but it still has issues. And I didn't have all my information the other day when I got up because I didn't realize I hadn't been paying attention, didn't realize this bill was going through. Because normally I have a little speech for it because it comes through every year. The good gentleman from Sublette County prior to the former member that from Sublette County used to bring this almost every year. And it would have made more sense if it had gotten passed maybe 10 years ago. Maybe then there would have been an argument. But so much time has elapsed since October of 1976, and that's the key date there is October of 76. And when RS 2477, which was the federal law from 1866 that said you can build highways across federal land, and then by 1976 the federal government said, okay, that's all the highways that have been built, we're done. And they repealed RS 2477. And where a little bit of wiggle room got stuck in there, they said all roads that have been established as of October 1976 are roads across federal lands, and those with valid existing rights. Well, that three little words has caused some problems. And there's been a lot of states that have litigated over this and unsuccessfully. The Congress has said, that's the road, we were done. If you didn't get your claim in, you didn't prove up by October 76, you're done. The problem is that even though this is supposedly helping one rancher that's having a problem, I don't see how this is going to help that one rancher. Because whether or not whatever we do doesn't really matter. What matters is that whether or not Congress whether or not the federal government is going to take that prove up from that individual that their road existed prior to October 1976. That's what matters, whether or not they can prove it to the feds, not whether or not they can prove it to us. What's going to happen, because we're making a law, a very specific law for one person, what happens is you're going to suddenly open this door for others to potentially bring suit to try to establish other roads for other purposes, not to, for other reasons why they would bring it, which I think will draw us into more and more litigation that was not needed. You can't pass a law. This is sort of a time machine law. If I had to reword it, I would write it as, the Wyoming legislature hereby creates a time machine, because that's what this law is trying to do. It's trying to go back to 1976 and try to prove up something that they were unable to prove up. I would urge you to vote no on this bill.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to join with my fellow representative in asking you to oppose this bill. And as I believe I mentioned yesterday, he's the attorney and I'm not. But I think in this instance he's right. This body has taken several positions on the issues of federal versus state law and federal versus state interests. And the ultimate decision in this, lacking a lawsuit, is the federal land manager will have a big hand in the decision, backed up by the 1976 federal law. And I agree that this will lead to further controversy and lawsuits, which, frankly, the state has plenty of already. But I do believe that there ought to be, if this is a valid claim for an individual, there ought to be a way to work that out. And I think that's by far the better way to go than to open ourselves to a new batch of litigation, which I don't believe will overwhelmingly win. We've taken as strong a position on federal issues as I think anybody can, and I just as soon leave it at that and vote no on this bill to not further complicate the issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and for the bill, and again, it's real interesting, the comments that are being made from our folks from the other side of Togedy Pass there, where more than 90% of the land is already owned by the federal government. Out in Fremont County, where they only own about 90% of the land, you know, we need access or needed access across a lot of this land. And the only reason this is here is because since 1976, the federal agencies have gotten more and more restrictive for access to these lands, whether it's a rancher or whether it's a farmer or whether it's a private resident. And this bill, you know, I admit it doesn't do much, but it does a little bit. And so I'm on and in favor of the bill.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I just want to reiterate, this isn't for one person or one rancher. This is happening in our county, and it's affecting a lot of other people. And it's happened more than once in our county where there's a lot of federal land. It may be just a placeholder, but it's still needed, and we still need to follow up on it. So I urge your vote no on this amendment and vote yes for the bill.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I would urge you to take a look at the second reading amendment for this bill, where it says upon acceptance of Board of County Commissioners of the county where the road is located. And a number of county commissioners may not even take an action on this yet, and the whole issue of the 1976 decision that's brought in here, or October 76, a lot of this took place after that, where the BLM is making either amendments to the resource management plan or developing a new resource management plan. And as the previous speaker stated, there are a lot of agencies that are putting more and more restrictions on the land, and this is used as one tool to stop that. And the county commissioners, as the cooperating agency, can get involved and help stop that by them declaring that the road is there and usable. So, you know, whether it's gone on a long time ago or not, if they haven't taken the action of amending their resource management plan, which some of them haven't, or if they haven't developed a new resource management plan, which some of them haven't, we're in the process of doing one in the Bighorn Basin right now, a whole new resource management area. And these decisions by the county commissioners can help. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment, I wasn't going to come up, but the discussion that turned towards legislation for individuals has caused me to come up. Of course, we know in the Constitution that it's unconstitutional to make legislation for individuals or that would just benefit one. But I'm going to use an example just on the other side. Because there's an individual up in my part of the country where you access their agricultural land by going around a hill, down through a valley, up the other side, down a ways. And I know there's no, since this is a public land, there's no, and this road is open, is there are people that travel on that road, but it's unimproved. And this operator wants it to stay that way. He does not want that to be a road that's maintained by the county. Because if that happens, that could potentially change the agricultural aspect of what he has there. And the way that it would do that is there are other property owners in other adjacent to this public land who could develop that land and put his agricultural operation in jeopardy from all the things that happen by close development. So I think that we should just kind of leave things the way they are, that this thing cuts both ways. And right now there's already within the possession of the county commissioners ways to decide where access goes to residences. And I don't think we need to take this step in order to ensure that. So on and against the amendment, or for the amendment and against the bill.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Speaker. We live in an area where there's a lot of federal land, and I guess that's why this is brought back every year, because of the need. And all this bill does is give the county commissioners the authority to help the folks that need this access. So I'm against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, against the amendment for the bill, I think this is a good balance. I think there's a balance in here because, and I've gotten some emails that said, well, vote no on this bill because it's a nefarious effort to stop the designation of roadless areas and stop other federal actions. And I just can't see that because of the fact the county, with the amendment, with the second reading amendment on there, the county commissioners have to accept this thing. And believe me, county commissioners have all the roads they want. They're not going to be accepting any additional roads unless there's a real need for them. So there may be just for argument's sake, I don't think it's going to happen, but there might be a great rush to establish these RS-2477 roads to disrupt federal land planning or prevent the designation of roadless areas. But that great rush isn't going to come to fruition unless the county commissioners agree. I don't think the county commissioners are going to agree to and accept roads for those kind of purposes. They don't want any more roads unless they're truly needed. So with the balance, I think it's a good bill and it ought to go forward. So against the amendment and on the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And let me just bring you back to what the bill is actually about. It's establishment of highways. This isn't about private access. It's not about the feds shutting off access to roads. You know, if the feds have a road that they've decided to shut down, you know, that's something to take up with the federal government. What this is having to do with is county roads and state highways. That's what we're dealing with. So what by putting this in the statute, what they're trying to say is that a county would have to not only accept it, as the amendment that we did yesterday, but the county would also have to prove, oh, yeah, that was always a county road. We just forgot to tell anybody. I'm just having difficulty understanding what county forgot to know that they had a county road. So you'd because this is all about – this isn't about accessing – and this is what also makes the bill sort of confusing. It's about county roads, so they're public highways. But here we have them accessing, and the key word here is private residents. So we're building public county highways to one single private residence. Do we really want to be spending taxpayer money for one person, a private residence? That word private really concerns me in that we're building public roads for one person. This has nothing to do with the Fed shutting down access. This has to do with county roads and state highways. And you know, maybe this is innocuous in that no county's ever going to be able to prove this up, but what they're going to do is they're going to try. And what they're going to do is gum up the works as best as they can, and it's going to cause a lot of litigation that was unneeded. And I would urge you to vote no. Oh, and I withdraw the amendment.
Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 40 is withdrawn. Senate File 40 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blickry.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey. Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingrey,
no.
Goggles. Hales. Hallinan excused. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Kimball. Landon. Lockhart. Lubno. Madden. Madden. McKim. McComey. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen excused. Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Stewart. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Edmonds, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 32 ayes, 25 noes, 3 excused.
Senate File 40, having received the majority of the votes of the members elected to the House, Senate File 40 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I would like to break for lunch.
Oh, good, Mr. Speaker. With that, then I would move that the House recess until 2 p.m.
We've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The House is recessed until 2 p.m. Announcements, Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your conference committee on the budget will meet upon noon adjournment in room 204.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The majority party will caucus downstairs in the Hirschler building. Please bring two items with you. You had a handout yesterday. It says 2010 HB1. And also bring Senate File 25 with you, liens. Thank you.
Madam Minority Caucus Chairman.
The minority party will be meeting at the Holiday Inn for our caucus. And just please bring the budget sheet with you also. Thank you.
Any other announcements? The House is recessed until 2 p.m.